May you help us to be still, to be silent in confidence that you know what you are doing in your world and in our lives. We pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We are continuing our journey, the journey of exploring the fruit of the Spirit. And like I said earlier, it is challenging. It is something that calls for soul searching. Not just for you as listeners to the sermon, but also to me as a preacher. Again, just to realize that this fruit, the fruit is not inseparable, even though we have 9 of them on the list. We have 9 fruit on the list. There's this intersection of all of them. They all come in a box, one box. And so you can't separate one from the other. They are really joined together. It's more like a chain, so you cannot break it. And for me, that is even more humbling, because you cannot talk about love and then not talk about joy. You cannot talk about these two without speaking about peace and patience. They may sound alike, but they all have their distinctiveness, something that God has to say to us on each of these. But the question we'd like to ask ourselves this morning is how we are with patience. How good are you with patience? It is often said that a patient dog eats the fattest bone. A patience is something that people know of, but often not many people like to discuss it. I remember a few years ago, I posted on my Facebook page one early morning something about patience. And a friend reacted immediately and said, "Elijah, what's the problem this morning that you are waking us up with patience? What's the problem?" It seems that there is always something to try our patience. And having to wait is one of those things, waiting. Wait on the traffic. For yesterday, as we were processing, we got to the junction, you know, that leads to Aldi. And I saw buses, cars line up. And I asked somebody by my side, "Are they going to wait until the end of this procession?" And the person said, "Yes, they have to wait." And I was just wondering what would be going on in the minds of those people who were waiting. Because it was a long procession. But by law, they were expected to wait. And perhaps some of them may be running late to something. Running late to work, running late to hospital, running late to see someone in Wishaw, in Motherwell, in Hamilton. But they had to wait. We wait when we queue. We wait to hear about a new job. When you apply for a new job, you wait. Or to hear from our consultant. And this waiting here for a new job, for a new placement, applies to me. Each of those times I was meeting with the nominating committee. And they say, "You hear from us later." You have to wait. We wait to complete school or to retire. We wait for someone to change his or her mind. We wait and we wait and we wait. We can resent waiting. Accept it or even get good at it. But one thing is certain, we cannot avoid waiting. It always comes to us every now and then. The 9 Christian qualities called the fruit of the Spirit portrays a Christian mind in its most general form, with special emphasis on our relationship with God, as well as social virtues related to our thoughts and actions towards others and our attitude during trials. Two Greek words are used for patience in the New Testament. The first expresses the quality that neither surrenders to difficulties nor gives way under trial. The second word describes self-restraint that does not retaliate or hastily punish in the face of provocation. It is the opposite of anger and is associated with mercy. So patience denotes good temper. It refers to a person who does not easily fly off the handle. He or she maintains good temper amid the inevitable ups and downs of life. Patience is the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, problems, or suffering without becoming annoyed or anxious. I'm sure we all need God's help here. I need God's help. And thank God that it is the fruit of the Spirit. It is not something we manufacture ourselves. It is something that the Spirit does in us. As desirable as patience may be, it is not easy to develop. We see this in children, especially amongst babies, who may wake up at the middle of the night, or perhaps they are hungry or they have wet diaper. You see, the babies don't really sit and think. You know, my mom and dad had a very long day, and they need to have a wee rest. You know what they do? The baby cries impatiently and continues to cry until they receive the needed attention. It is not just the problem of babies, for teens and for adults. It is evident that we live today in a culture that is not relaxed. And speaking from a fairly global perspective, we are on a fast track in a rat race era. We are in a world of fast food, quick print, expressway, 10-minute oil change, and instant cameras and microwaves. We see growing level of impatience and anger across and within nations. We see this in our workplaces, in schools. We see it on the highways. We see it in families. We also see it even in the church today. There is always this assumption that others may be a source of annoyance and provoke us to lose our patience. But I think we need to think of ourselves as perhaps the cause of annoyance to others. There's this story about a man, and I'm sure many of us will identify with this, perhaps in the recent past. A man who was walking through a supermarket with a baby who was screaming in the shop and drawing attention. And a woman nearby noticed that time and again, the man would calmly say, "Keep calm, Albert. Keep calm, Albert." Now, finally, in admiration for the man's patience, as the child continued to cry, the woman walked up to him and said, "Sir, I must commend you for your patience with baby Albert." To which the man replied, "Madam, I am Albert." So, I am rather the Albert, not that child.
You know, some people are easily irritated, whereas others appear to be quite placid by nature. We sometimes refer to people as short-tempered, whether we are inherently irritable or paragons of patience. We need to understand that patience, as a fruit of the Spirit, is supernaturally endowed. It is given to us by the Spirit. Patience is greatly needed in our world, in homes, in husband and wife relationship, brothers and sisters, grannies and grandchildren's relationship. We need it. We need patience in a church family like St. John's. We also need patience as we live together in the community. The transformed Christian ought to be an embodiment of patience in thought, word, and deed. Our patience can also be tried at such times when we face troubles and pressures of life. Psalm 37, verse 7, as read to us this morning, "Rest in the Lord, be still before the Lord," as some versions will say, "and wait patiently for him." The Hebrew words here means to be mute, silent, still. The idea in the phrase, "be silent to Jehovah," is that of waiting in silent patience or confidence for God's intervention. Or in other words, leaving the whole matter with God without being anxious as to the result. Again, I go back to yesterday. Perhaps that is what preachers do. Every experience gives them something for the sermon. You know, when I stood, because I didn't have briefing about what was going to happen yesterday. And because it was happening in Kaluk, I thought I should just go there. Whatever happens, I'll keep going. So I didn't know how we're going to process. I didn't know what it was all about. But, you know, I just kept pushing the buggy until we got to a point they told me that was the end. I just felt I was safe in the company of those I was moving along with. And I just thought, you don't need to bother too much. So I kept pushing the buggy, following the crowd, following them to go wherever they were going. It is leaving the whole matter of our lives in the hand of our Creator without being anxious as to the result. Because as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are God's ways higher than ours. And so are God's thoughts better than our own thoughts. We may not understand the way God works. We don't really need to wait until we understand it before we believe it. But we need to be aware that God is working out his purpose in our lives in ways we may not always understand it. As we look to Jesus for guidance, in patient and persevering prayer, we do so knowing that his timing is perfect. Patience is sustained in the knowledge that God is sovereign and that God is in control of all the details of our lives. God is the example per excellence of love, joy, and peace. So too, he is our perfect example of patience in his relationship with humanity. God has given us opportunity for repentance. If there are things you need to repent today, you can see God's patience in dealing with us. God is patient in delaying his righteous anger against a rebellious world. But one day, he will judge the living and the dead as contained in the scriptures and as we also recite in the Apostles and the Nicene Creed, which we recited last Sunday. God is long-suffering and desires that we should be patient with each other and we should also be patient with ourselves. It's not just being patient with others, but we also need to be patient with ourselves. to know that the way God works in the life of A may not be the way he will work in your life, but trusting him calmly and being still. In closing, perhaps this would be a good time for us to look into our lives and identify areas where we need patience. As we identify them, let us submit ourselves to God and his will in those areas. Are there areas you are struggling with patience? Maybe in your relationship, maybe in your workplace. Are there people with whom we need to be especially patient? Perhaps you need to think about that as we close. With our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, let us determine to treat others as we know he treats both them and us. Amen. May God help us.